Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this evening, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto your word, so that we can grow in knowledge and wisdom to reach out to others, to be able to be a light unto them and help guide them from darkness, Father, to the light, and that light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we've got communion to partake of. I hope you've got everything ready. You have? Fine. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread. In the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So take your cup. All right. As far as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, as we get into our evening study, find that over here in chapter 7 of Matthew. Now, excuse that phone, it'll quit ringing in a minute. I can't get to it, it's out in the other room. All right. Now, we're going to be working with several different things here. But it is all the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we are walking in the days right now that mankind set aside to be a holiday for him. But then they let others come in with trees and lights, Santa Claus, reindeer and sleigh, the North Pole and all of that, and made a pagan holiday out of it. But we, as the children of Almighty God, let us honor this day and this time of year, for the Lord our God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without him, we have nothing, we can do nothing. You know, he is everything for you and I. He's our strength. He is our forgiver. He's our physician. And he is the one, as we go through him, to receive knowledge and to talk with our Heavenly Father. All is done through him. Now, we need to never forget that. But so many of us do and have went other ways. Beginning here with verse 1, says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you might, it shall be measured to you again. 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Now you see, he's letting you and I know. He said, judge not refers to an unfavorable and condemnatory judgment. And this does not mean that a Christian should never exercise judgment of any kind under any circumstances. But the point being made here is that we are not to judge the inner motives of another. We are not to render a verdict based upon prejudice information, nor are we to use ourselves as the standard of judgment. For with what ye might, which is what we just read, ye shall be judged. That you be not judged refers to the ultimate judgment of God rather than our own judgment. The term mote and beam are used metaphorically for a small fault and a great fault. A mote is a small speck of sawdust, whereas a beam is a rafter used in building. Thus, the idea of the text is that one cannot remove the speck from his brother's eye until he has removed the rafter from his own eye. Because, you see, if we will judge ourselves first and know our standing, then we are not going to pass judgment on that one. Now, we may know he's doing something wrong, and we talk to him about that. But we don't judge him. That belongs to Almighty God, not you and I. Now, there may come a time to where we run into an incident to where there has been a brother or sister that has been into such evil, and we have talked to them about it. It did no good. We took witnesses with us and talked to them about it. It did no good. And we took them to the church. The church has listened, but it did no good. Now, we do have the right of Almighty God to put that one out of the church. But we can't be judging others by ourselves and our own actions. Now, 5. He goes on to tell us here, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, you've got to get yourself right first before you can help your brother or sister, whatever the case may be. 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We know that in 5 and 6 verses there. There in 5 he calls us a hypocrite. He says, thou hypocrite, is the only statement that can be made for this play actor who pretends to be a physician when he himself is sick. The dogs and swine refer to those who have deliberately rejected the message of the truth. And these particular animals were especially repulsive to Jesus' audience. You see, back then, neither one, the dog or the swine, either one, was not thought much of. Now, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? He ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? You see, the 3 imperatives, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense of the original language, suggesting both perseverance and frequent prayer. Fervent and continual prayer is to be made on behalf of those for whom we are concerned. And God promises to answer all genuine prayer. Everything we need for spiritual success has been promised to us. God leaves us no excuse for failure. But it doesn't mean that it does not take something from us and something that we should be doing in order to receive these things from Almighty God. 11, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? 12, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is the law and the prophets. You know, Jesus illustrated this point by comparing the willingness of a human father to give his child a gift with our Heavenly Father, who will gladly give us what we need. And the term evil is used here of man's sinful nature. Even sinful men are kind to their children. Therefore, how much more shall your Heavenly Father delight in answering your prayers? Hence, rather than judging others, we are to treat them as we would like to be treated. And the statement in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, is the biblical injunction often called the golden rule. This is the law and the prophets indicate that the statement made here by Jesus is not intended to be novel, but rather a summarization of the second table of the law. Now, you see, the main one you and I should always be watching to see how things are, is ourselves and how we are standing with the Lord. Are we walking according to the Word? Are we doing what He has asked of us to do? Are we spending the time with Him in prayer and the time in with Him in the study of His Word? Or are we using excuses and letting things that we do and want to do come between us and Him? And this is what has happened to most today. They let everything stand between them and what they need to be doing for the Lord. Because when you are lax and your time spent with him. And you are slack in the study of his word, you're not going to be receiving the blessings that could have been yours. Can even find yourself in a lot of trouble. Now, 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And you've heard me talk to you many times about those two sentences right there. Because, you know, in that closing section of the Sermon on the Mount, presents two choices to the listener. These are presented in a series of contrasts, two ways, two trees, two professions, and two foundations. This was a common method of teaching in both Jewish and Greco-Roman thought. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Narrow means that one must come through the narrow gate in order to reach the path that leads to eternal life. But you see, his word right here told us 7:14, few there be to find it. We don't know how few, because it doesn't really tell us. Though many are on the Broadway that leadeth to destruction, eternal separation from God, the gate that leads to life is so narrow that few there be to find it. Christ himself is both the gate and the way. And God enables men to find that gate. You see, what we are doing here with this Bible study and all is one way of helping you to find your way out of darkness and find that narrow gate that will lead you to that pathway of eternal life, the Lord God. Now, this next sentence is another thing that I've warned you about time after time after time. And most don't listen to it. They have their own thoughts. They want to make it their own way instead of really listening to the word of Almighty God. 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You know, that's a warning that the Lord God, through his son Jesus Christ, is giving you and I. The warning, beware of false prophets, fits appropriately with the concept of the two ways. Since many are being led in the wrong way, they are obviously being led by the wrong people. False prophets were prevalent in the Old Testament, whereas God's true prophets were often in the minority in sheep's clothing, but are in reality ravaging wolves. This is a perfect description of those preachers who have denied or distorted the truth of the gospel. In other words, they have distorted and they're teaching things that are contrary to the word and the truth of the gospel. And they look like lambs, but act like wolves. Their description is similar to that of the great false prophet in Revelation. Now, in that, talking about the false prophet in Revelation, he's talking about chapter 13. Let's go there and see what it has to say. Chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and calls the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He's talking about the Antichrist there. Is exactly what he is talking about. Then, if we back up to verse 10 that leads into that, it says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the saints. And then he goes on to tell you about this false prophet that is to rise again. But we are also told that there are many antichrists already in the world today. And we know this because it's not hard for you and I to look around us and find all of this teaching going on that is supposed to be the teaching of the church that is not. And it's contrary to the gospel. And we're told to stay away from those places. But a lot don't. They want to play, and they do what we call church hop, from church to church to church. And they never settle down to the truth of God's word. All right, now, Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, we don't. 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. You see, there he is really letting you and I know that those that are his children are not going to be bringing forth evil things. They're going to be bringing forth things that are good and are of God. And those that are still walking in darkness and all, they're not going to bring anything to you good. It's all going to be in contrary to the ways of Almighty God. Now, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's also telling you what's going to happen to you if you're not a good tree. 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And the way we know them is by the word of Almighty God. Because the things that they will teach and bring across to you will not line up with the word. Now, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, this is Jesus talking, and he's telling you very plain and very straight. Those that wants to speak of being a Christian but are not will find that they are falling away short. It's only those that are walking and doing the will of Almighty God the Father that will make it into heaven. Now, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, they speak one thing, but they are living another. So the Lord is letting them know. He doesn't know them. Because they have not chose him. They have not took time to know him and to live by him and his ways and by the word of Almighty God. 23. That's the one that lets them know what's going to happen. And I'm going to read it one more time. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, you see, when we listen to the Word of God, and we are building our lives on that Word, as he put it here, we're building our house on a rock. 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In other words, those that are building their life upon the Word of Almighty God, when troubles and trials and tribulation comes against them, they will not fall, because they are built on that rock, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. 27, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was that fall. Think about these things. Now, 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. 29, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And you see, you and I have this same authority, because it has been given to you and I by our Heavenly Father, and has been brought to us through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You have the authority to stand against Satan, against his demons, against that dark world out there. Stand and proclaim this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and this word of Almighty God in boldness, with courage, without fear, knowing that man can do nothing to you without God's permission. And we know that he's going to take care of you and I if we keep on going by his word. And living our lives for him. And we have come now to the end of the chapter. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we have come to the close now, we thank you, Father, for these words. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours, filled with all this evil, help us, Father, to remove that evil from our high offices and to replace it, Father, with your children, those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, that loves your church, and loves this land and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded. Be with us as we separate for this evening and tonight. Keep us in health, Father, and keep us safe. And Father, I pray now for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy and her husband Tom, their son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie and Daryl, for my wife, Father, myself, and for all that's in the nursing home there in Granite Grove, Father. Let them know that they are loved by you. Now, Father, bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word, keeping us all in health and in your way and your will, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. I pray you have a good one. And I hope to see you in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Until then, God be with you.